Okay, we're back. Let's continue. Matthew, chapter 22, verse 23. The Sadducees come. They say there's no resurrection. So they come up with a very clever question, at least clever in their own mind. They say, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed to his brother. I love our Heavenly Father's law. He provided for everything. And that's why, really, there were no widows in Israel. Widows weren't supposed to mourn for 5 years or 7 years or 3 years. Our Heavenly Father made provision for the widow to be placed in a family immediately. And that was into the family of the brother. There are no caveats, even if the brother had a wife already. Oh, he was supposed to take his brother's wife as a second wife. Now, that's fairly repulsive in a society that that practices and holds to the idolatry of romance, enforced, of course, by Rome and their idea of gender relationships and forced monogamy in this society. Well, in America, they think that's the only way, though overall half of the world out there, people and societies do practice multiple marriages where a man can have more than one wife. But there is no society that I know of or I've heard of that where they allow a woman to have more than one husband. So in that much at least, it's biblical, even where they have unbiblical practice in marriage and multiple marriage. So you can have unbiblical practice in monogamy and polygamy, because they're trying to enforce unbiblical practice of a man marrying a man here now, and a man and a woman marrying a woman. So that's so the widows, to take care of the orphans and the widows. And see, this is whether a man had children or not. Here they're just saying, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed to his brother. Well, there's no such distinction in the law, though it does mention that if he has no seed, that his brother will raise up seed to him to honor his brother's name, but they would be his children. And of course, if she had children or perhaps had daughters, then he would take the wife and the daughters as his own. And there were to be no orphans and widows in Israel by the law. And that's what it meant, to take care of the orphans and the widows in Israel by the law, is that they were taken. You did not reject the God, God's law by not doing that which he had commanded by the law. And when Paul talked about widows indeed, well, that's what he was talking about, because you'll find that phrase in the New Testament about widows indeed were widows who had no one to take care of them in their own family. In Israel, they would have a family to take care of them, a brother-in-law to take them as a wife and their children in and do as the law commanded. But if they had no one, or their family would not obey God's law and do that which was right and take care of the widows and the orphans, then they were widows indeed. So anyway, just to touch on what the law was there and what these Sadducees are talking about, because this is so foreign in the society where the norm is the idolatry of romance and forced monogamy. As I said before, I would not advocate someone practicing having more than one wife, especially in the ministry, because it's not expedient. You know, Paul said, all things that are lawful for me, I can do. That's what he says. All things are lawful for me. So whatever God allows, that's what he was saying. Whatever the law of God allows, I can do that. But not all those things are expedient. So we have to ask ourselves, what is expedient? And for the times and the place that we live in, and especially if you're in ministry, well, a lot of things become less expedient or not expedient at all if you're in the ministry, because they would hinder your ministry. They would give the enemy occasion against you, perhaps not by the law of God, but by the law and the practices of the culture and the nations that you're living amongst. So all things are lawful, not all things are expedient. There you go. As you hear about, like, some of these ministers and so forth wanting to enforce and practice polygamy, or having more than one wife, then they should get out of the ministry. If they feel that strongly that they need to have more than one wife, they need to get out of the ministry, because it's not expedient for the ministry, for them. That's my personal feeling about that. And from what Paul in his statement saying, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So there you have it. I'll tell you like it is when I read the scripture and what I get out of it, and how I believe that we can rightfully divide and balance the things that are said that sometimes seem a little contrary to one another. But I don't believe that the scripture really contradicts itself in any wise. So these Sadducees, they come up with this clever question saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the also, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Well, I don't know. I think after two or three husbands dying, I'd be looking into this wife. And I'll tell you, if two or three brothers die having the same wife, I doubt if number 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are going to go for this one, because she's like a death sentence anyway. But they don't question that. That's the absurdity of their clever trap that they're laying for the Messiah. Whose, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Okay, Yahshua, he's very kind to these guys. He could have really laid into them, because of the faults with their arguments. And, you know, he could have really laid into them. But, you know, he's very patient with these guys. And he just answers them and he says, you do err. And he sees that they have passion about what they believe. You know, that they're honestly duped. Right? They're not so much hypocrites like some of the other ones, just trying to trap him so that they can accuse him or bring the law against him. And that's not the same situation as the previous instance where they were tempting him. So he continues, he says, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's why it's so important. You know, don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone's word for it. If you hear something questionable, controversial, you're not quite sure about, well, it's not necessary to believe a lot of things. It's not necessary to know a lot of things. To just stick to the basics. Now, that's necessary. That Yahshua, he paid the price for my sins. And I need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, that is to do what's right in his sight. These are the important things. Some of these scriptural, doctrinal things are a curiosity, but they're not that important. But he tells them, so don't hold to something if you don't know. And that's what he's telling them. You do err, not knowing the scriptures. You guys don't know the scriptures well enough. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to go back and study more. And he says, and you don't know the power of God. And he continues, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. He just tells them the plain facts here. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? And he goes on, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that, he put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Yahshua said to him, Thou shalt love Yahuwah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then again, that's where the corporate church stops. And this is one that the atheists and the unbelievers and the worldly out there like to hang on to also. Cause they'll tell you if you want to talk to them about anything that pertaining to the kingdom of God and so forth, or you're witnessing, or you're perhaps, letting your light shine before men. Well, this is, I love my neighbor as myself. That's what they say. And that's all I have to do because that's what Jesus said. So I'm loving my neighbor as myself and I get to go to heaven when I die. And that's what the world thinks. That's their pie in the sky when you die doctrine. You know, the once saved, always saved doctrine. Because, hey, Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm doing that. That's what they think. And they think that I will love my neighbor in the way that I think I should love my neighbor. They say they get to determine what loving their neighbor is. In other words, they become their own God, their own lawmaker. That's what they're really saying. They just don't know that's what they're saying because they're deluded. So they like to use that, but they forget the first one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, mind. And, you know, that the world forgets that one. And the corporate churchianity people, they just think, you know, that love is, I feel, you know, they feel gushy and they sing the songs and the, you know, the choruses and they go to church once a week and swoon. And then they love their neighbors or self. Well, there's some of them are the most worldly and liberal people that, you know, I've ever seen. Just worldly, worldly Christians. But they neglect to read the whole scripture. He says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he continues, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He says, what he's really saying is these two sum up the law and the prophets. On these two hang the law and the prophets. What does that mean? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, as I've studied the scripture over and over, it's dawned on me, going through the Old Testament law and the commandments, it has dawned on me that the reason that he gave us his word, his Bible, that he gave us his word, the Bible, the reason that he gave it to us is to teach us how to love him and how to love our neighbors herself. On these two hang the law and the prophets. You take the law and the prophets away, I mean, you take these two away, loving God and loving your neighbor, and the book falls to the ground. It just, you know, it isn't hanging up there anymore. You know, there's nothing for it to hang on. You know, if you take those two away, but you can't have one without the other. And that's the other point. He connects them. They're connected, irrevocably connected. The reason he gave us the law and the prophets, what we call the Bible, was to teach us how to love him, how to love our neighbors ourselves. That's the point of the whole thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. How? His righteousness. To do that which pleases him is to love him and to love our neighbors ourself. That's the reason that it was given to us. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Yahshua asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? So he would have said the Messiah. What do you think of the Messiah? He's asking them a question. You guys, you know, you read the word, you discuss these things. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, The son of David. And he saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord, and that, there we go, you got to read it right, Yahuwah said unto my Lord. So he's talking about the Creator, because you don't have the Lord speaking to himself. So we got kind of a bad translation here in the authorized King James Version. Whenever you see the Lord capitalized, it's referring to the Creator, our Heavenly Father. And if you go to the Old Testament to look up this verse where David says this in the Psalms, you'll find that it is the Tetragrammaton, where it says, Yahuwah said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? A little riddle there for the Pharisees. Of course, no man was able, and it says here, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Yeah, they were through trying to trick this guy. You know, they weren't going to tangle him up in his words. You know, it was easy for him before, you know, with the other false prophets that came along. They could tangle him up in their words so easily. But nah, you couldn't tangle the Messiah, the true Messiah, up in his words. He's out there doing miracles, and he put him to silence. They were astonished and amazed at his answers. And there you go. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23 and verse 1. Then spake Yahshua to the multitude and to his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. For they make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Messiah, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Yes, read it and weep, you Catholics. Call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father in heaven. And this abomination, they call this man the Holy Father. And what an awful thing. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. What's he talking about? Can you go into the kingdom of heaven today? Right now? Could they go in then? He was calling them hypocrites. Because they don't go in and they don't allow other people to go in. He wasn't talking about pie in the sky when you die. He never said repent so you can go to heaven when you die. He never said anything like that. That's a false gospel. That's another gospel. That's the gospel that the Pharisees preached. They didn't enter in. He says, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. How do you shut it up? Well, you don't tell them to enter now. You tell them they get to go in when they die. Bam, you shut the door. Can't go in there. Gotta wait till you die, then you get to go into the kingdom of heaven. You can just ask anybody who grew up in the church. I've asked many young people, when do you get to go into the kingdom of heaven? And invariably they tell me, when you die. That's what they believe. That's what they've been told. So I, you know, give them a few verses, get the cogs the turning in their brain, and maybe something will happen. He continues, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." You know, this ungodly thing, they have this thing out there where they solicit widows and older people to give them their inheritance, the inheritance that God's law says belongs to their children. That's right. God's law says it. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The law in the commandments and the statutes in Israel required them to have a family estate and to leave that estate for their family to take care of the orphans, the widows, and to raise up and nurture so that the families coming up behind them would not have the burden of being slaves on someone else's land, under landlords. That's right. Our Heavenly Father did not mean for us to be paying rent and mortgages. He meant for us to have an inheritance in the land. This was the law in Israel. And what were these scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites doing? Devouring widows' houses. And for a pretense, making long prayers. You can see them do it on the TV all the time. All of these 501c3 state Pharisee ministries devouring widows' houses and for a pretense making long prayers. It's kind of like the that cult that has, what do they sell, indulgences or something like that? You know, like a ticket into heaven? You know, that's kind of the same thing. You know, they're selling you a ticket to heaven. You know, you give up your family estate, you break God's law. Instead of leaving an inheritance for your children's children, you bind your children to be slaves for their lives, to take on mortgages and have to pay rent to other landlords rather than enjoy the inheritance prescribed by our Heavenly Father's wonderful law. Okay, we're at the end of the hour. We'll be back.